Hello, we're the Cryptic Code. We're your hosts, Harmon
and Jim.
And we like to talk about cryptids, aliens, and generally anything spooky. Now, I would like to welcome back, because I couldn't find anyone else, to the podcast, my father, Jim. I apologize already for how similar our voices are going to be throughout the entirety of this episode. We'll get through this together. I don't think I asked when we covered the Norfield Pigman how you feel about the supernatural. Like, I always ask new guests and co-hosts, like, do you lean skeptic or do you lean believer? Like, are you a Mulder or a Scully?
I'm somewhere in the middle. Some things are unexplainable. Other things are simply explained, but people just ignore because they want to believe. So I'm somewhere in the, if it makes sense, it's not making sense, then.
Okay. Well, welcome back to another episode of 14 Funnies. I actually have a quick case today that is a bit close to home. You see, today we are journeying to the small town of Oceana, West Virginia. Have you heard of it? Are you familiar?
I have.
Oh, what's your experience with it?
I just know of the town. That's it.
Same. I only know of it because of this.
There's only five people in the whole town, so it doesn't, you know.
You're not far off. If you haven't heard of it, no one will blame you. It's actually the oldest settlement in Wyoming County, West Virginia. And when I say it's a small town, I mean small. As of the 2020 census, the population is just under 1,500 people.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's surprisingly old, too, dating back to 1797. It was founded by Revolutionary War veteran John Cook. Despite its size, it has a few notable figures, such as C. Haley Bunn, who was appointed to the state Supreme Court, and Jamie Lester, a bronze statue artist. But if you're not a resident of our lovely mountain state, there's likely only one way you've heard of Oceana before. Oceana. Oceana is a 2013 documentary covering the extent and consequences of the drug trade inside the Appalachian community, particularly in Oceana, which has an Oxycontin problem, hence the name Oceana. Oceana, Oxycontin.
That was the one where they, that little pharmacy did like 50 freaking thousand prescriptions or something, all for Oxycontin.
Yeah, probably. I didn't watch the documentary. I'm only interested in things that don't exist.
Because it made our state look awesome.
Yeah. We haven't had that much good press since Wrong Turn. With one interviewee even being quoted as saying, "You either work in the mines or you sell pills." But today we're going to discuss a monster of a very different kind. And for that story, we're going to turn back the clocks to August 14th, 1978. The time was around 5 a.m. The town was still cloaked in the pre-dawn darkness. As insomniacs and early risers are well aware, the world takes on an eerie, almost surreal aspect in such hours of the day. The silence is palpable. Most people are asleep, and that special sense of loneliness can often come as either a welcomed respite or an unsettling isolation. I imagined it was much the former for one patrolman Bill Pratt, who was 2 hours away from finishing his grueling 12-hour shift. Yeah, from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
That poor bastard.
Well, it's such a small town, I wonder what you're even doing. Like,
eating pepperoni rolls and drinking Dr. Pepper.
Mountain Dew. Or RC Cola, that's West Virginia too.
Or Moonshine.
Or Moonshine. Well, he's a cop. Yeah. Even as I said it. Only one other officer was out with him that night. Police Chief Raymond Walker. You know it's a small town when you have two cops patrolling and one of them is the chief.
Yeah.
Thus, when they received a call describing disturbing baby cries in the middle of the street, Pratt was tasked to check it out as he was the closest. Upon arrival, he spoke with a caller who believed the disturbance could have been cats fighting. However, the two could find no evidence of any such feline fight club. Pritt, at this point, likely thought the disturbance had resolved itself, but that notion was shattered along with the early morning silence as a beastly roar tore through the streets. To quote Pritt's interview with the Independent Herald newspaper, quote, I mean, the hairs on the back of my neck stood straight up. I've never heard anything like it. End quote. Pratt followed the noise to near the house of one Johnny Aleph. And apparently his house is like a local landmark. Like big enough that the newspaper mentioned that's where it happened.
Huh.
There, he saw something human-shaped beneath a street lamp. He thought it could have been someone drawn out by the noise or even a local drunkard he probably had dealings with in the past. That was, though, until it stood up. The thing had been crouching, and as the officer drew near, it rose to its full 7-foot height. It was covered in long, dark hair, and Pratt estimated it weighed about 300 pounds.
Damn.
The thing, whatever it was, jumped down the riverbank to the edge of the water. Pratt turned his cruiser spotlight towards the spot and found that the creature was not there. Instead, it was on the other side of the river, appearing to have leaped 60 to 75 feet in a single jump.
Damn.
Yeah. Pratt later stated he had heard no splash, so the thing crossed in one clear bound, not touching the water. Overcome with fear, now they realized he was dealing with something not entirely human. He was faced with that same binary choice that has ruled human instinct for millennia.
Shoot it!
Fight or flight. And he chose fight. Pratt drew his weapon, a 357 Smith & Wesson Magnum, and fired all 6 rounds towards the creature.
Sweet.
To seemingly no effect. Now, we don't know if this is a question of accuracy or if... you're the gun guy. You know a lot about guns. And you told me 75 feet isn't that far.
Mm-mm.
Like, that's well within effective range.
Oh, yeah. If you're an accurate shooter, but if your adrenaline's pumping and you're freaking out, that bullet's going to go everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's more like a spray and pray kind of moment.
Chief Raymond heard the shots, saying, quote, "When I got there, Bill was still trying to shoot, but he had emptied his gun at it. He is staring there, pulling the trigger, and the gun was going click, click, click. He was white as a sheet and shaking," end quote. So yeah, he just emptied all 6 barrels at this thing, and both didn't hit it, or if it did hit it, it didn't even slow down.
Damn.
I'm leaning towards didn't hit it, for reasons we'll get to in a bit. According to the article, Raymond also saw movement in the brush on the other side of the river, and followed up with 3 to 4 shots of his own. The book I read said he used an M1 carbine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
30 caliber.
That would hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, let's say against a bear. How would it do against a bear?
And they're really not that good for that. They're a carbine. They're kind of underpowered.
Okay. But
it's a rifle. It'll penetrate. It just won't be deep.
Okay. Personally, I'm not sure how I feel about Oceana's Finest blind firing into a bush. But hey, easy to play Monday morning quarterback. Because he specifically said he couldn't see it. He just saw movement and popped.
Wow.
Quote, "I did not get a good look at it."
Nothing like them good instincts kicking in.
He just blew away some random dude.
Some dude taking a pee in the bushes.
"Chief, I heard you need help." Oh, God!
Went from peeing to shitting himself.
To quote the newspaper article from the August 16th issue of the Independent Herald, quote, "Searchers gathered at the river at dawn, and just before they crossed the river, the creature's blood-curdling cry was heard again. Pratt said it was more distant and sounded as though it came from halfway up the mountain. The searchers checked the area where Pratt said the thing landed on the other side and found broken branches, trampled weeds, and what appeared to be a heel prints next to an upturned rock. No blood, feathers, or any other evidence was found, however." End quote. I'm going to double check something so I don't feel like a dumbass. I'm going to be a little upset because I call him Pratt, but the article called him Pratt. I'm not going to change it. I'm not recording all that.
No.
So, what exactly did Officer Pratt see that night? Despite his account lacking description, the consensus among paranormal researchers in the case is that what he encountered was a Sasquatch. more properly known under his stage name of Bigfoot. I take it you're generally familiar?
Yeah, I've heard of the guy.
Yeah, once or twice?
Yeah, I think he played in the NFL or something.
I love his monster truck.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
I guess that's a bit of a dumb question because everyone knows Bigfoot. It would be hard to find someone who doesn't.
Yeah.
And we've covered sectional Sasquatches before, such as the rock apes of Vietnam and the Moguland monster of Arizona.
And the grass man, right?
You haven't done the grass man yet.
That's not a weed seller, just so everybody knows.
I apologize. His humor is tragically boomer. While that seems
get off my lawn.
While that seems to answer the bulk of the mystery surrounding the Oceania monster, there are some elements in the case I feel warrant closer examination. Specifically, the fact that the noises were initially described as resembling a baby's cry. That's a bit interesting.
Mama bear, mama Sasquatch holding a baby.
Maybe. This may lead one to jump to similar conclusions, or maybe it being something like a skinwalker or one of those creatures that can mimic human speech. However, that might be a bit presumptive. You see, John Keel, famed paranormal investigator and focal point of the Mothman mythos, noted it is common for people to report hearing such sounds during paranormal encounters. I'll present an excerpt from the Complete Guide to Mysterious Creatures, the 1994 republishing of his 1970 work, Creatures from Beyond Time and Space.
Nice.
You don't get titles like that anymore.
No.
Throughout this book, you will find instances in which the witnesses describe hearing a sound like a woman screaming or a baby crying. The phenomenon is well known to ghost hunters, and there are many cases in which the sounds were heard in cemeteries and haunted houses all over the world. The woman screaming sound is definitely related to our monsters. This can be reproduced mechanically. For years, phony mediums used to reproduce this sound in seances by stroking a warm silver dollar over a piece of dry ice. It creates a shrill, unearthly scream. We've pulled this trick on a number of monster witnesses, and they've reacted with alarm and recognition, saying it is almost exactly what they heard during their experience. End quote. So, that's a bit interesting.
So always a shyster out there making things look bad.
Yeah. But, apparently, it's not uncommon. I think there's been reports of hearing babies' cries during Bigfoot encounters before. I can't find the source, but I remember reading about it in the Momo case. Have you heard of Momo?
I don't think so.
It's a Bigfoot-like creature that was seen in Missouri.
Oh, I have not. I think Bigfoot's been seen in every state except for Hawaii, probably.
I think there's Bigfoot-like reports from Hawaii, too. However, there is another avenue for investigation I want to take. Anyone of even a passing knowledge of Sasquatch studies likely knows about Bigfoot calls. It's one of the few cryptids where we supposedly know how to, at least on, yeah, on some level, calling them like you would a deer or a turkey.
And tree knocking.
Yeah. Watch a single episode of Finding Bigfoot or Expedition Bigfoot or Mountain Monsters or any number of shows on the subject. You'll see plenty of dipshits in the woods hollering their lungs out. But there's one particular piece of evidence for Bigfoot calls that stands above all others. The Sierra sounds. Have you heard of them?
I think so.
Yeah. I won't go into the full backstory as I'm saving it for a later episode, but the gist is that they're recorded by Al Berry, a reporter looking into Bigfoot stories in 1971. Given their name, you can probably guess they're recorded in the Sierra Mountains of California, somewhere between Lake Tahoe and Yosemite National Park.
Tahoe.
Listeners are used to it by now. I can't pronounce shit. I just wanted to ask real quick, doesn't Sierra mean mountains?
Yeah.
So it's...
Mountain mountains.
Mountain mountains. Great.
Love that.
And if anybody thinks California is too populated, they've never been up through that part of California. There's a whole lot of empty space out there.
But are you ready to take a listen and see what comes up? See if it lines up with what the witnesses describe? I always love this one.
That does sound like a baby crying.
I can see
it
the
connection. It almost sounds like monkeys.
Which I guess makes sense. Yeah. Primates. The humans sound kind of dumb though. When they call,
yeah, it is.
They sound like Daffy Duck.
When we were in South America, the monkeys would go crazy when somebody came into the jungle, and that's what it sounded like, just non-stop gibberish.
You guys wanted a human stunt.
Yeah, he was really bad at it. He sounds like a bird trying to do it. Ah!
And I think that's enough. I don't want to subject our listeners to more than we need to.
Some of them did sound like baby cries.
Yeah, I was going to ask. The other description was cats fighting. So I feel like I could see either of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure from inside your home or from a distance, it probably changes the sound, too.
Yeah. So do you think it could have been the Bigfoot calling to something?
Sure.
Especially because it ran across the river. So it might have been talking to somebody.
Yeah. And you also got to remember that Wyoming County is very, very unpopulated. So if a Bigfoot was going to live in the Appalachia, it would want to be in southern West Virginia.
Yeah. Which actually brings us to my next point. It's worth noting that this wasn't an isolated incident. Now, while there were no other reports of the Oceana Monster, as it was dubbed by the media, the region is no stranger to Sasquatch activity. Namely, the area is supposedly home to the Polk Gap Monster. Hmm. Yeah. The following is a description from West Virginia Cryptids, a visual guide for traversing the mountain state, by Liz O'Dell. Jeez. I'm so bad. I'm sorry. Les O'Dell, with illustrations by Mark Randall. Quote, "The creature is described as a hulking bipedal humanoid with bronze shoulders and covered head to toe with hair. Even though the monster's characteristics have remained relatively uniform over the years, there has been one variation in its description, and that would be color. Some that have seen the creature say it's very dark in color, while others say it's dark but gray as though aging, almost like a silverback gorilla." End quote. Which seems to line up pretty closely to what the officer saw, mm-hmm. given that, like, he's seeing it in a street light. So that's going to affect the color a little bit.
And living in the wild, creatures' furs turn color. I mean, deer are darker in the winter than they are in the summer.
Yeah, it has to do with, like, food supply, right?
Food supply, the amount of sunshine they get. Mm.
Now, the titular Pope Gap, it is worth mentioning, is actually only 36 minutes from Oceania.
Be the same creature easily.
Yeah. Also, apparently there's a Pope Gap Monster Festival.
Huh.
Though, I can't find anything on it beyond a brief reference to playing a second festival in the West Virginia Stream Partners Program 2010 to 2011 yearbook. So, if it's still around, enjoy the free publicity, my guys. You're welcome. That'd be fun. I always feel bad for, like, the small monster festivals that can't take off.
Yeah.
Like,
because nobody even knows they exist.
Yeah. Point Pleasant got lucky. Mothman Festival was kind of the first.
Who's Mothman?
Oh, just some big fucking crane in Point Pleasant.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Nothing real. It's fine. I totally didn't do 5 hours of content on Mothman and dedicate my life to it for a few months.
He's just somebody in a Batman costume.
Na 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 Mothman. But before we go any further, I'd like to share a word from our sponsor, Appalachian Oddities. Do you like the strange and mysterious, the odd and out of place? And I know just the place for you. Appalachian Oddities in Weston, West Virginia. Visit their film room to buy earrings based on your favorite horror movies. The library offers an assortment of books on topics ranging from ghosts, and specters, to New Age mysticism, to even cryptids and other creatures. You can even get unique art crafted by local artisans, like the creepy H.R. Giger-inspired sculpture that I'm pretty sure whispers in my ear when no one else is around, or even some rather steamy cryptid-themed pinup paintings. Hubba hubba. My personal favorite are the enamel pins made in the likeness of some beloved beasties such as the Grafton Monster, the Flatwoods Phantom, and of course, fan favorite Mothman. And if you're in the neighborhood, you can attend a special event on December 9th, Murder at the Masquerade. During a secret society's annual masquerade, their leader is killed, and the remaining members must navigate a web of magic, misdirection, and murder as they search for the truth. In between looking for clues, you can enter our coffin raffle, compete in our best mask contest, or even enjoy some novelty mocktails. The show is one night only, so secure tickets now at AppalachianOddiesWV.com. Thank you again to Appalachian Oddities for sponsoring, and let's get back to the show. And since we're dealing with a possible Sasquatch, I decided to see if there are any other reports of Bigfoots in the area. To that end, I looked through the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization's database and found several encounters from the area. The first was dated to December 3rd, 2005, in the town of Amiga, roughly an hour from Oceania. Now, it happened near Amiga as they're heading into Pocahontas Mine Number 2. Now, the witnesses says, quote, "I don't know if what I saw was two Bigfoots or something else, but one thing I know is that they are things I've never seen before. I also know they weren't bears. I worked in the coal mines near small town called Amigo," he misspelled it, but we're gonna leave that be, "was my, what I used to do was coal sampler. What I would drive around all day collecting coal for chemical analysis, from the high walls to the deep mine. The deep mine is more remote since they put the belt head in. It is so far from the plant to the deep mines, it would take me 30 to 35 minutes driving in the mountains."
Damn.
Yeah. "Last week I was driving back from picking up a sample and noticed something running back up into the woods. It was two does. Then I noticed something was lying on the ground. I beat my horn thinking it was a bobcat and up jumped this light tan, just a little darker than the deer skins. I froze. It definitely wasn't a man or a bear. All I know is walking upright. It did something that looked like it clapped its hand. Then I watched it kneel down and crawl into the air shaft for the abandoned mine. To my surprise, another one appeared out of nowhere and ran past it. I could tell this one was only a couple inches taller than me, 6 to 7 feet. I do know it was something I've never seen before. The second one kneeled and crawled into the same air shaft, which is a bit interesting, hiding in, like, mine shafts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a natural cave for them.
True. And I imagine they don't get a lot of visitors.
Yeah.
Apparently, he wasn't the only one to have seen stuff like this. One other miner, an older man that had seen something while gutting a deer once, would apparently tell his stories on the CB radio, but stopped when other workers started making fun of him for it. Yeah. The time was around 2:40 p.m., and the weather conditions were cold, and it rained the night before. Now, there was a follow-up investigation done by a local BFRO investigator named Brian B. Quote, Saturday afternoon, December 31st, 2005, a fellow BFRO investigator, B. Brian, and I met with a young man who submitted a report to the BFRO. Not to be mean to fellow cryptozoologists, but can you imagine spending your New Year's doing this?
Yeah, it would suck.
I wouldn't want to be out here on, like, Christmas Eve, being like, and how big was the Bigfoot? His sign was on active mine site in southern West Virginia. We met in Beckley and drove south to the location. Brian questioned the witness during the 45-minute drive. We gained admission to the mine and drove along the haul road. He led us to the site and pointed to the area where the creatures appeared. Jim did not want to get out of the truck, and he did not want to stay alone when Brian and I walked away to investigate the terrain. I proceeded to the hole in the hillside Jim said the things disappeared into. Beaver heavily populates the local area, and they are intent upon downing every tree within eyesight of their pond. Their trackways ran everywhere. Trees littered the ground. Some were suspended in the air from being wedged between opposing stream banks. The hole was a man-made chamber, approximately 30 to 40 yards from a seldom-traveled mine road. The structure had obviously been there for several years. It had not seen mining use recently. And an opening that was about the size and shape of a regular door. Inside this entry, the chamber widened to about 10 feet all the way to the back. It was about 16 feet deep. The ceiling angled from 7 feet or so at the door down to the floor at the rear. It does not appear to see regular use by anything, human or otherwise. It had a small rock window with a sliding metal door on the right side after you enter the opening door. There was a pool of clear water roughly 8 by 10 feet long and approximately 18 to 24 feet deep.
Damn.
Inches.
Oh, you say shit.
Yeah. Deep at the bottom of the slanting floor of dirt and debris. The pool extended all the way to the rear wall of the wedge-shaped chamber. They could have gone in just enough to get out of plain sight. There is no other exit. No visible tracks, though there were some indentations. No odor other than a vaguely limestone-type aroma. No visible scat, no hair, no bones. If I may interrupt briefly, remember, this is December 31st, and the sighting was on December 4th. So a lot of time passed.
Yeah.
What I'm willing to bet is this hole is in a regular habitation.
Yeah.
They don't live there. But if you get sighted by a human, it makes a pretty good spot to hide.
Hidey hole.
Because you can theoretically hide there pretty long if it has water in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're probably hoping most humans will fuck off by then.
Yeah.
Which will explain the no bones, no scat. You're only going to be there for, if he left quickly, only a few minutes. Yeah, like a little spider hole.
Yeah. And I mean, it's that far, you wouldn't get footprints anyhow. I mean, how much rain and snow or whatever?
Yeah.
And if you got beavers around, they'd be tracking all over the place.
The Bigfoot used beavers as like little shoes. They tie them to their feet. There's a small outlet of a larger beaver pond. Oh, beaver pond about 15 yards in front of the entrance. There are several well-used game trails in the immediate vicinity, including some drag marks, which I took to be from the beavers. Other than deer tracks in the mud by the side of the road, I saw very few tracks of any sort in the soil. From his demeanor, Jim definitely saw two strange things and was ready to depart the area without delay. He jumped nervously at any unusual noise or movements, even while inside a moving vehicle. He made drawing to the creatures. They looked like Sasquatches. One was about 6 feet tall and the other about 7 feet, which lines up with the Oceania monster.
Yeah.
Like most other people, he thought the Bigfoot subject was, quote, all a hoax until this incident occurred. He is now very interested in the subject and wants to attend the West Virginian expedition scheduled for October 2006, end quote. God, that went on longer than I thought it would. I didn't expect all the bone dry detail.
Yeah.
All right.
It would be easy for a Bigfoot to hide in the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how thick the foliage is here. It looks like a Vietnam jungle or something half the time.
Well, I've driven all over the state, and there's been a lot of places next to major roads where I thought if I just pulled over, got out of my car, and took like 10 steps, no one would see me from the road.
Nope.
Yeah. And then they might hide in abandoned mines, like here. Like,
yeah. But who wants to go to an abandoned coal mine? They usually abandon them after they become unsafe, so. And then they seal them and all this other crap.
Yeah, I mean, local teenagers. Another encounter comes to us from The Old Man of the Mountain, The West Virginia Bigfoot, again by Les Odell, and it is from 2016, according to my calculations, though the book simply dates it as 7 years ago.
Hmm.
Yeah. It reads, quote, "So this is my Bigfoot story. We are living in Wyoming County in the small town of Ravencliff." Cool name, by the way.
It is cool. We got Ravencliff and Ravenwood.
Yeah, a lot of ravens.
Yeah.
"We went to Oceana to eat. It was dark when we headed home. We came into Glen Fork. In one section of the town, there's not a lot around except a little compression station for a gas well that sits down over the hill from the main road. The embankment going down to the compressor is steep, and there is a guardrail along the road. My husband was driving, and he had the high beams on. When he got to the guardrail, it pulled itself up over the guardrail." This is beautifully written. The guardrail. "My husband swerved. I screamed. I looked it dead in the face and could see it really good."
Really good.
Mom would lose her shit reading this.
Yes, she would.
Because of the bright lights. Its face was very dark. Flat forehead. Not much of a nose. Protruding chin. Shaggy, thick hair. Brown. Almost black completely around the face. Very long and big arms covered in hair. My husband turned around at the next wide spot, but nothing was there by then. We went back the next day and pulled down a little gravel road then. Little gravel road to the compressor. The backside this creature came up over was a good 5 foot above my head. I stand 5'6". It came up like it was nothing. It completely blew my mind. I apologize if that wasn't very well read.
I couldn't even understand that part, what she was saying.
It wasn't very well written. Sorry, lady from this book. I looked up the local geography, though, and found that Ravencliff and Oceana are about 20 minutes apart, and Glen Fork is right in the middle.
Mm.
So, I just wanted to ask, how are you feeling thus far?
Oh, I definitely believe there's creatures living in the mountains.
Yeah. Here.
And I think they've moved around to get away from people more and more.
Okay. Kind of like nomadic? Or they push deeper?
Yeah, I think they get pushed deeper every once in a while. And I think they're definitely nocturnal.
Yeah.
And I think they get pushed out, and every once in a while somebody runs across one of them.
I think part of the reason Bigfoot reports have gotten more and more common is it's kind of like any animal. The deeper you get into their habitat, the more likely encounters are.
That's why, because more and more people are getting, like you said, moving into, there's just more of us.
Yeah.
And we're just spreading out. Like, even into parts of West Virginia where there was nobody before.
Like, when the Bigfoot craze started in, like, the 60s, even historically, not that long ago, population was way smaller than it is now.
Yeah.
So I guess it would really only be a matter of time before Bigfoot reports become like astronomical. Speaking of which, we're going to move on to our last report, which is dated October 17th, 2015, but was reported to the BFRO September 25th, 2022. The location was Bolt Mountain near the town of Copperston and Route 99. Have you ever been there?
Mm-mm.
Neither have I. The account reads as such. Quote, I have spent my whole life in the woods in this area. Me and my stepson and I, were ginseng hunting, an area that I had been through multiple times. We decided to try the opposite side of the ridge that we had went to the weekend before and harvested a pretty sizable amount of ginseng. What do you use ginseng for? It's like flavoring, right?
No, ginseng is an herb. They really love it in Asia. They put it in everything. It's supposed to have all kinds of health benefits like ginger root.
I drink it in my Arizona green tea.
Oh, they have ginseng in it?
Yeah.
That shit is expensive.
And I still get it for 99 cents.
Yeah. We used to have it. We have some on our side of our hill.
Pro tip. If you're buying Arizona, get it at Walmart. Because it goes from 99 cents to about 75.
Or Dollar Tree, where you get two of them for $1.25.
As we dropped down from the ridge and began going around the hill, we noticed that the area we were in was a little darker due to excellent shade cover from the large timber in that area. As a result, there was a lot of moss, chicken of the woods, and other mushrooms. What is chicken of the woods?
I'm not sure.
I'm going to look it up. Library of Alexandria in the palm of my hand.
I think chicken of the woods is mushrooms. Is the big fat mushrooms.
Yeah, I don't think he just randomly found chickens, although that would be very funny. If Bigfoot is like a chicken farmer. Oh, God, it's gross. This is shit that grows on trees.
Yeah, it's a mushroom. It's a fungus.
It looks like pancakes.
You pick up the wrong window, it's going to kill you.
Oh, is it poisonous?
Yes, some are.
It says it's edible. Don't take that as fact, though. Don't listen to this podcast and start eating a bunch then die.
Just eat shit off the side of the tree.
Hey, that's how we got apples.
Yeah, that's true.
True. As we started to go for the swag off of the small point we were on, we began to hear some unusual sounds. One of the sounds resembled almost like laughter. What was so strange is it was low but echoed. What?
I just think, old man, get off my property.
You could see really good under the timber. There were some trees, but no thick brush, so we kind of ignored it and rode off as just an unusual sound of a bird. We heard the sound 5 or 6 times. Just a few seconds after that, we heard a loud growling noise that didn't resemble any kind of bear or coyote that I hadn't heard.
Man, his English is good.
It didn't resemble any bear or coyote he hadn't heard. It didn't resemble what he hasn't heard. Well, what did it resemble that you did hear?
Let me tell you about the Walmarts.
I should stop being so mean. It's just, when I read this, it makes me sound like an idiot. And I need to put up with the comments about it. I'm joking. Spotify doesn't have comments. I yelled, "Hey, bear, you get out of here." In an attempt to possibly scare off any kind of predator in the area.
Because we all know that's how we scare off bear.
I just imagine when you said any predator in the area, you see like this big guy like get in his windowless van and drive away.
Ah, dang it, I'll get you next time.
I've seen several bears in the area over the years, and actually harvested 2 with my stepson. I know harvest means like kill and like cut up. Can we find a different word? Because that sounds weird to say you harvested a living creature.
Well, that's he probably said it because that's what's in the manual.
The manual?
Yeah, the West Virginia hunting manuals and all that stuff. It's harvest season.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why they call it that. Most normal people just say hunting season.
Hunting.
I bagged two deer.
The next moment, a loud sound that almost resembled an ambulance siren, or a siren on a vehicle, also known as an ambulance. But with more depth in the tone, rang throughout the woods. Then a few seconds of a sound that was a long huff, 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 that was very guttural and grungy, came through the woods. It's fucking Kurt Cobain.
This motherfucker making our state look really bad.
Hold up, I think I smell teen spirit. Just imagine being in the middle of the woods and some dude in like a flannel and very sad haircut comes out. He's like,
Boom! I'd shoot him in the face.
Okay, Courtney Love, calm down. I'm editing that part of that joke out. Part of that joke is a little too dark, home dog.
A little spicy meatball there.
Mamma mia! We stood silent until he said he wants to leave. I hope...
What the what?
I think he means his, like...
Stepson?
Stepson. I imagine Bigfoot popping his head out and be like...
Y'all leave. I want to go somewhere. Y'all give me a ride. Oh, Sean, I think there's a huddle house there.
I have the police on the phone now. I'll arrest you for trespassing.
Don't call that prick guy, because that asshole can't shoot.
I'm as scared as he was. He was only about 13 at the time. I told him to just hold on, and I'm sure it was nothing. I had a Glock 21 SF. What was that? What does FSF mean?
Special Forces version. It's just a fancy way of saying he just had a Glock 21. I don't know why he had to throw the SF in there. That's just the model.
All right, cool.
He's super cool.
With me, which is a 45 caliber handgun, and was pretty confident we could handle anything in the woods. Does that line up? Is it a 45?
Oh, I love 45. Yeah, it's stopping power.
Okay. Think it would take down Bigfoot?
Yes. All right. Carry a Glock 41, 45.
What's the biggest Glock? Like, number goes up means more boom, right? No. No, oh, no, less no, boom?
No. That's the model. It's the model that they made. They just keep going up.
Oh, so there's 41 Glocks out there?
There's more than that now. I think they're up to like 48 or 49.
Oh, okay. All the gun nuts in my audience. My audience of 60 people are just screaming at their phones right now.
Glock 1, Glock 2, Glock 3. Then you get new generations. Let's count them with me. A Glock 1, a Glock 2.
Is it like Pokemon? Like Glock Red, Glock Golden? Suddenly, about 60 yards away, the tops of trees started swaying back and forth. You could hear the sound of feet moving quickly in the leaves. But it didn't sound like any bear, deer, or squirrel moving.
Oh my gosh.
The fact that he just grouped those together is funny. I get what he's trying to say.
Squirrels, they're little itty bitty creatures. Man, they make a lot of noise in the woods.
Yeah. They're pretty nutty. The steps were heavy, yet so fast paced. There was a grouping of trees, beech, maple, and hickory. How do you know?
That dude spends a lot of time in the woods. It's probably where his weed field is.
Between 8 inches to 24 inches in diameter. Now the larger trees were shook. The smaller trees, 8 inches in diameter to 16 inches in diameter, were swaying back and forth violently, and the tops were banging against each other.
I'm calling bullshit.
What?
16 inch diameter trees. Pretty big ass tree.
I'm just wondering, did he like have a ruler with him?
Yeah.
Is he like pulling out his measuring tape?
I'm a professional tree man.
I looked around and observed that there was no wind blowing at this time. He looked around for the wind. There, I see it. Or he probably meant like seeing if anything else was swaying. Yeah. But like, this is a comedy podcast. I'm allowed to make jokes. The large timber in the area somewhat blocked our view of the creature doing this from where we were standing, but occasionally we would catch a glimpse of what appeared to be a large creature on two legs. approximately 6 to 7 feet tall, moving from one smaller tree to another before shaking the tree hard enough that it would bang the tops of the trees. This occurred for approximately 3 to 5 minutes. Holy shit. I can't imagine staring at a Bigfoot for 5 minutes.
And your arm, dude. What are you doing?
Well, like, the Bigfoot hasn't hurt him, so yeah. I wouldn't feel right, like, popping a cap in his furry ass. So, like, I get it. It's just, I feel like I would have left. Like, just 5 minutes of watching it at trees all day.
Maybe. I'd like to sit and stand and watch it. Then I'm weird, so.
Well, I'm also wondering why it's shaking small trees.
Intimidation, I guess. I crush you. Dude's like, okay.
What if the other Bigfoots are just watching, like, that's just Jerry.
Yeah.
He's weird like that. Just ignore him.
He ate a special mushroom this morning. He's chilling.
He looked at a car dealership and saw the inflatable tube men, and he's trying to make the trees into that. We got great deals.
On ginseng.
It is notable that the creature always positions itself to the backside of the tree, keeping the tree between us.
That's smart.
I mean, it's a big gorilla. If it's scared, why doesn't it just murder you? Why does it care? Why is it scared of this guy and his stepson?
Well, maybe it has some kind of intelligence.
Oh, okay. It stopped for about 30 seconds. There was no sound in the woods whatsoever. Then we heard quick footsteps going through the leaves. As we moved, trying to catch a glimpse of whatever it was, we could see a large creature, brownish black, on two legs moving quickly as it moved between the trees. It was so fast that we could only catch glimpses of the creature. It was putting distance between us. All of a sudden, the trees started shaking again. Trees 6 to 8 inches in diameter are being shaken violently. It's a significantly weaker Bigfoot. Branches were flailing from the tops as they banged together. Then the tree began to crack, and within a few seconds, it quickly fell. The tree was probably 20 to 25 feet high. Oh, okay. It's actually a pretty strong Bigfoot. And 6 to 8 inches in diameter. After this tree had fallen, another tree, similar in size but much taller, began to shake violently until it cracked and fell to the ground. 5 to 6 trees were broken in this manner. Why are you still there? I feel like now is the time to leave.
Yes.
If it's pulling like Ewok shit on you. If you hear panting, that's our dog, Bo. He can't go an hour without attention. We're pausing to pet the dog. Then, as quickly as it started, it all stopped. You could hear the sound of something crossing the point in the distance with heavy, quick steps. How many times she said... I left the oven on home. We decided to go down to the area. While I did... Well, I did. He was in shock and near tears, but I had the firearm, so he went with me. He's dead ass gonna leave his kid there.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm gonna go down and investigate. I don't want to go. Well, you stay here then.
What a great stepdad. He's like,
I know.
Well, I'm curious. I know it just threw 5 to 6 trees at us.
But we'll be fine.
There are all sorts of small trees freshly broken in the area. The larger trees we had seen broken were all broken in the same direction, pointing downhill. As we investigate the area where the creature had been, we heard what sounded like trees being rolled down the hill. I looked up on the point in front of us and could see large rocks the size of a basketball, maybe a little larger, being rolled down to the point. No, not towards us, but close enough it would obviously scare us. Okay, so it threw, like, rocks at him. Okay, sorry, my eyes kind of glazed over as I was reading this. I looked up towards the ridge of the point. I could see a creature near a large, old, squatted. Squatted? Oh, okay. Near a large... No, I don't know what the fuck that means. I think he means there is a...
Squatted means fat.
Okay, but, like, it says near a large, old and old squatted.
He's a hick, okay?
I'm gonna die. This is actually giving me brain damage. I thought it was a stump at first, but then I quickly moved to the side of the tree, blending in with the shade, remaining hunched or squatted. Okay, so he saw something there. He saw a creature near a large old something, and the creature was squatting.
Nothing like catching a man half turd.
Does Bigfoot shit in the woods?
Come on, guys. I got a hanger. Can you just leave?
Nothing scarier to me than the image of Bigfoot turtle poking its head out, and it's rapidly crab walking.
Oh, man.
Because it can be that fast while it's shitting.
Yeah.
You don't have a prayer.
Nope.
As someone who has been interrupted mid-shit, my speed drops significantly. I'm going feet per hour. Feet! I stare at what I thought to be a creature momentarily. The woods were completely still. I turned to my stepson and told him we would go exactly the way we came. As I was leaving, I remember I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in my bag. I laid it on the stump as to say I respect this as your home and to say eat this instead of me.
My bad, motherfucker. Here's sandwich. We cool.
I have been back through the area and heard strange noises, but never had any more incidents. Each time I left a small gift like a Pop-Tart or candy bar.
Good man.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be a little upset that we downgraded from sandwiches to a single candy bar.
Yeah. It better be a king size, bitch.
They're leaving Reese's pumpkins there. I would be cool with that. Close to that area are large stacks of rock that are uniform and almost rectangular.
That follows. They've seen those a lot of times. Yeah. Those and the cross tree things.
Yeah. The stacks are usually level on top and measure 2 feet by 6 to 7 feet.
By 4 foot wide.
By four. This episode is a mess, man. Several areas have large dugout holes against old logs that appear to be either wallowed or some kind of bedding area. I do not fear this creature in the least, but respect it immensely. The property is now leased by a hunting club, and I'm worried they'll disturb his home, as we do not respect Mother Nature, but rather feel above it. End quote. Of that long ass quote. Sorry they got preachy there at the end, everybody.
You know what? I got to give the man a little bit of credit, though, even though he talks in the beginning like, my God, dude, please just hurry the hell up and get it out. But
it's his first time typing anything.
I respect that he respects nature. Like, if there was a Bigfoot on our property, I'd be like, cool, just don't mess with us.
Yeah.
I'll leave you a sandwich.
I mean, I also respect that he did have a lot of insight and, let us say, rural knowledge.
Mm.
A lot of knowledge of the woods woodsmanship. And stuff.
Yeah.
But Copperstone, I should add, is a measly 9 minutes from Oceana. So, generally, these sightings are pretty grouped together.
Yeah.
God, I have another excerpt.
What happened is he got the Bigfoot hooked on peanut butter sandwiches, and now he's going into town looking for peanut butter. I hope he didn't use the good Kroger kind.
That means nothing to people outside of Appalachia, but Kroger has really good honey peanut butter.
It's the bomb!
I can't go back to regular peanut butter.
I can't. It doesn't even taste right.
Yeah. Alright. Now, they did send out a BFRO investigator who added this addendum, quote, I interviewed the witness at length, and as well as many communications over a week, I can add the following. The witness is an avid and knowledgeable outdoorsman. He spent a lot of time year-round in remote and hard-to-get-to locations. This particular location is 4 miles off trail. Many times, gene C hunters are forced to go where others won't in order to be able to find much of the route. Witness is 35 and has a degree in counseling. He grew up and lives in a very mountainous and remote area of West Virginia. The section of the woods they walked through had been fire-burned years ago, but they were dropping into a holler which was dark and had a lot of large timber. The witness just recently told his wife for the first time. His stepson is afraid to be in the woods now. I find the witness believable and compelling. Like so many witnesses, he now has become interested in the subject. Maybe he will be like so many of us and have a lifelong interest. So, how are we feeling thus far?
Oh, I totally believe it.
Oh, okay. Spoilers, everyone. You feel like this is pretty reliable?
Oh,
anything
yeah.
you want to add?
Yeah. Nothing I haven't already added already. That this, how much the woods are different out here and the hollows. And it's not like out west where you have a lot of wide open area. This is very condensed, hilly area. If I put on a ghillie suit, you'd walk right past me and wouldn't even know I was there.
And if you're chasing something, you're not used to the area. It's up and down and up and down.
Oh, yeah, my God.
You remember, it reminds me of that movie about the guy who's really into knives. It was like The Hunted. Wasn't he hiding in West Virginia?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was like some like special...
forces dude?
Yeah, who went AWOL. And always use a knife for some reason instead of a gun.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Man, I think he had like Tommy Lee Jones in it or something.
Okay, I know what you mean. Yeah, where he taught him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a ripoff of The Fugitive.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But if The Fugitive actually did it and was obsessed with knives. But one thing worth mentioning is that according to the Charleston Gazette Mail, the area near Bolt Mountain has a lot of black bear and wild boar, and there's even been rumors of it being populated by a monster who is known to make cat-like shrieks heard, quote, by the small communities below. So, apparently this isn't an isolated incident either.
Yeah. I think most people who see stuff, they don't come forward because they don't want to be made fun of.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people just get downright nasty about that shit. You don't want to believe, don't believe. You want to go out in the woods with my ass? I didn't think so.
Please don't put out that challenge. We'll get so many emails from skeptics being like, all right, motherfucker.
Come to West Virginia. Drive down some back roads. You might change your mind. If you hear banjo music, just stop.
No, keep going. The other direction, like, don't stop. Now, as to theories, the official explanation given to what Officer Pret saw that night was that it was a large crane or heron bird. And while flight would certainly explain how it managed to cross the river so easily, there's an issue. The largest heron bird in West Virginia is the Great Blue Heron. Am I saying that right?
Heron.
Yeah. I am a fool. Large. Should I go back and reread that? Fuck it. They're used to this. Say it again.
Heron.
Like Karen. Okay. The largest heron bird in West Virginia is the Great Blue Heron. That comes up to a whopping 4 feet in height.
Yeah.
About half of.
And a heron looks nothing like
what he saw.
Yeah.
Now, I know panic can make people exaggerate size, but he saw this thing under a streetlight. On top of that, it's described as hairy and pretty wide, both of which do not align with a heron.
It's a bear humping a heron.
Ew.
Now, new creature!
There's also the Sandhill Crane, which was famously used to dismiss sightings of the Point Pleasant Mothman.
Yeah.
But it's even smaller, topping out around 3.9 feet. So I feel like a bird just doesn't line up with what he saw.
No, it does not.
It could possibly be a bear. Shout out to my skeptic friend and co-host, JP.
It's a bear!
Black bears are pretty common in West Virginia, as the Charleston Gazette article stated.
And they have been known to get on 2 feet.
Yeah. That would explain the dark hair and being black fur. And on top of that, a black bear appears 3 feet tall when on fours, but once it's on its hind legs, can stand up to 7 feet tall.
Yeah. Of course, jumping a river and giving you a finger, I'm doubting down.
Yeah. Which is actually my next point. Black bears can only jump 7.5 feet high. That's vertically. I don't imagine they're going to be able to do 75 feet horizontally.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Hell, I even looked it up, and the human record for long jumps is 29 feet, set by Bob Beeman in 1968.
Yep.
And this would be at least double that. Now, Sasquatches are reportedly quite able when it comes to jumping, yet I imagine even they would struggle. So this is a very interesting part of the story. Maybe it did splash and it just didn't hear it, or...
It's possible.
Yeah.
Or there's rocks or something, or maybe he swung across. You don't know.
True. Like, you're telling me...
There's always vines.
Yeah. And we see they move through trees, so...
Yeah.
Now, you're telling me the other day there's, like, some encounter or video of, like, a Bigfoot jumping super high?
Oh, yeah. The guy, I think his name is Bear Less, the survival guy, did a Bigfoot thing, and he caught one on video that was, he just went up the side of a cliff, and he just jumped straight up from one ledge to another, and it was a good 16, 20 feet. He just... Up, right up. I was like, damn.
Oh, crap. Okay. I'll link to the... If you can send me the video, I'll link to it on our Twitter. Yeah, if you can find it.
The Men in Black already scrubbed it.
Probably. But... Ultimately, I present all the evidence available, and all we have left is that question we tackle at the end of each episode. So I'll ask you, do you believe in the Oceana Monster?
Absolutely not. It's fake.
It's a bear.
It's a bear humping a heron.
And then use it to fly across a river.
Yeah.
But,
Yes, I do. It's, okay. There's... All these people have seen Bigfoot, and there's so many reports of it before colonists even got here. The Native Americans, they knew about it, and they respected it and left it the frick alone.
Yeah.
Our dumbasses want to go hunt it down because we're idiots.
Okay, don't hate on cryptozoology. That's my
Not that kind of brother. Hunt it down. I'm talking about people who want to, like, kill them.
Oh, yeah, I want to avoid that.
And you just drive them down deeper into the caves.
Yeah.
Or... Maybe Bigfoot's just a big Nephilim or a small Nephilim. And that's why you can't get to him because they go into caves.
He's about to go down a rabbit hole. Okay. At least you didn't mention the theory about Bigfoot being Kane. Oh, damn it. I mentioned it.
I did not mention that one. But there's too many of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem with that theory. But, yeah, I believe in... I think it's credible enough. I mentioned in the Moglin Monster thing that the only reason I had to believe in the Moglin Monster is the fact I already believe in Bigfoot.
Yeah.
But there's nothing compelling about the case itself. For me, it's the fact that it was a police officer. Two police officers.
And they emptied their weapons, which tells you a lot.
I was scared they were.
Yeah, you just don't do that dumb shit.
Yeah. I imagine they've encountered herons at some point in their lives.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Living by a river, you see them.
Yeah. And, like, and then the sound was heard by the searchers when they were combing the other side of the river.
Yeah.
So that's enough for me to think something happened there.
Well, Wyoming County is very, very rural. And I think there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings, and they just call them something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Grafton Monster. You look at pictures of the Grafton Monster, it looks like a Bigfoot just hunched over looking at you. People are like, oh, it didn't even have a neck. It's like, he's like this, dumbass.
Well,
and he's huge.
I don't think the Grafton Monster is a Bigfoot, personally. Spoilers for that episode, just because it's described as having eel-like skin. No, seal-like skin. Yeah, very different.
I don't know, but there's Bigfoot sightings right here through the Tiger Valley where we live. All up and down West Virginia.
Don't reveal our location. Well, I've already mentioned Fairmont.
It's a long valley.
Okay. Good. And The fact it's a police officer, the fact that the official explanation makes no damn sense. And then you have...
You know they'd have to fill out a report. Do they really want to write down some shit that they didn't really see? No.
Nah. And I think that's what ties it together for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you think it's real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Well,
sorry, I could be more of a skeptic, but there's just way too much going on.
Don't fake it. Don't.
No, I'm not going to. It's an honest opinion. There's Bigfoot. There's all kinds of weird shit in the woods. I've seen weird shit in the woods.
And we're not going to delve deep on this episode. I mean, I live in fear. In actual, genuine fear of the day we need to do a Bigfoot episode. Because how the hell am I going to do that?
That's going to be a whole season, dude. That's not an episode. It's going to
be impossible. I thought part 5... Part 6 or whatever I did of Mothman was long. But it's Bigfoot. He is the first.
You're going to be like that dude from that has the picture board with all the string and shit.
Like
hair all crazy and hitting Cheeto in the side of your head.
Pepe Sylvia. I'm going to look like I'm just walked off the set of like Zodiac or something.
Bath slippers and a bathrobe. That's it.
But there you have it. Hope you all enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to hopefully getting a few more out pretty quickly. Although, let's be honest, you've all heard that one before.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you like updates, follow us on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, at The Cryptic Code on Twitter.
And you're on Prime now too, right?
We're supposed to be on Amazon Prime. I've recently... put our portal onto that, so check us out there if you'd like to listen to this episode again, but on a different platform. We also have a YouTube channel that I'm slowly updating. Sorry about that. I have a lot to do recently. We have a TikTok that I never post on, and if you have suggestions for cases or personal encounters you would like to write in, you can send them to our email at thecrypticcode@hotmail.com. But until next time, though, remember... ammo's cheap, but your life isn't, so always empty the gun. Cryptids don't have Miranda rights.
They don't.
And most of all, stay spooky out there. Good night.